Hello, Ashton Crown here to make your dreams a reality. TV show, that is.
A plan is set for the creation response team and their competition.
Terrific! You will be amply compensated.
Are you sure you want to do this to them? I mean, aren't you a little bit concerned about lawsuits?
Look, Michael, do you know how desensitized Americans are to reality TV? The more dangerous, the better. The ratings demand it. If I wanted someone to care, I'd call my mother. What I need from you is to make my dreams a reality. After all, that's the only way to supplement the measly wages they pay you. Just do your job.
Who is Ashton Crown? What does he have planned for the Creation Response Team? To find out, join the adventure in Jonathan Park and the Isle of No Return.
Hello, I'm Jonathan Park. My family and friends and I make up the Creation Response Team. And whenever there's anything involving creation or evolution, we're there. Our latest adventure started in an airport in Ecuador. Our team had just gotten back from another incredible mission, so we felt like we could take on just about anything and come out on top. We had made our way through the terminal and were just finishing up a press conference.
So I hope that you see our visit to Quencia and the early archaeology of the people who live there further explains the creation model.
Dr. Park, after surviving your last escapade, do you think you're up for a real challenge?
Well, I'd have to know what it is first.
It's a chance to prove your beliefs in creation.
All right, but I want to discuss it with my team. And
what's to discuss? This will be a great opportunity. But due to significant time constraints, if we don't have an answer now, we'll pick a different team that may not have the same convictions as you do.
Well, yes, of course we would go, if it's to talk about creation, but...
Then it's settled. You'll meet Ashton Crown immediately for the Crown Challenge.
What, right now?
You see, he's backing out. I told you they would.
We just need some more details.
It sounds like too good an opportunity to pass up.
This way, Dr. Park. The arrangements have already been made. The world will be anxious to hear your conclusions. This will be front page news, won't it, guys?
Well, that was the end of our press conference. Members of the media escorted our whole team to a van, and we were driven through the streets to an old office building. One of the reporters mentioned that Ashton Crown had temporarily rented an office in Ecuador. When we arrived, the reporters left, and we were shown to a plush waiting room.
It kind of seems like those reporters were setting a trap for us.
I know. I'm looking forward to meeting this Mr. Crown so we can get down to the bottom of this.
Mr. Crown will see you now.
Oh, thank you very much. Jim and Jonathan, you come with me. The rest of you stay here.
All right, okay.
No, Max. I told you I want a show with two kids and a dog or I won't have a show at all. That's what the distributors want, and it's what I'm going to give them. Have your people call my people and we'll work something out. Okay, bye.
Excuse me?
Oh, it's you, the Creation Adventure Kids. Now, come in. I'm down here working on a new TV project.
Is that what you do for a living?
But you didn't recognize my name? Don't you know that I'm the biggest independent producer of reality shows? Some of the biggest ratings on the Nature Adventure Channel.
Sorry, I didn't.
You're also famous, too. I mean, come on. Dr. Park, you are the man.
Well, I...
Okay, so here are the conditions, all right? You pick up a plane here in Ecuador.
Headed where?
That's the gig. The gig. Surprise. That's the thing here. Spontaneity. That's what we want here.
Anything else?
I can tell you this. You'll need to bring some basic survival gear, and you'll be filming everything you do, huh?
We've done that before.
Right. With Dwayne Gibbons. Oh, and one more thing. I wouldn't be dragging a lot of kids with me. This stuff is going to be pretty intense.
Kendall, don't you think that...
Jim, we'll be careful. I think we can handle it just fine.
All right. Whatever you think.
Jim, you, me, and Jonathan should be the only ones participating, and we'll put the rest of our families on a plane for home.
Okay, partner. We'll say our goodbyes and then head out for Ashton's Land of Mystery, wherever that may be.
In a whirlwind, we made the arrangements for the moms, Jesse, Ryan, Katie, and the two babies to fly home safely.
Hey, it looks like there's a nice cafe over there.
All right, everyone, why don't you all grab a bite to eat, and I'll make the final arrangements. We've got 45 minutes.
Dad, I know we're busy and all, but that family over there looks like they could really use some help.
What do you mean, Ryan?
Well, their bags weigh too much, and they're having to get rid of a lot of items.
From what I've heard, they're missionaries. Do you think we can help?
Well, I can sure ask. Excuse me, are you guys missionaries from the United States?
Are we that obvious?
Yeah, we just overheard your conversation. So what type of mission are you involved with?
Our goal is to raise awareness for missions and then help people to get involved at some level. Hey, aren't you Kendall Park?
Yes, I am.
Jack Brinkman.
Oh, this is my son, Jonathan.
Glad to meet you.
I thought you guys looked familiar. We watched you on the Battle of the Worldviews reality show. You guys were incredible.
It's nice to meet you.
Well, thank you. We hope the debate helped to provoke thought.
Wow. Meeting you guys here in Quito, who would have thought? So what are you doing here?
Well, we just finished up our last mission, and now all of a sudden we seem to be embarking on another. How about you? Looks like you've got the whole family.
Jamie Saint here is taking us back to visit the Waodani tribe.
Jamie Saint? The grandson of missionary pilot Nate Saint? No way!
Yes. My grandfather was the missionary pilot to the Waodani tribe in 1956.
Incredible!
It's great to meet you, Kendall. We're very familiar with the Creation Response Team and your museum. Thanks for all you do.
Oh, I could say the same thing. It's a pleasure to meet you.
It's a small world, isn't it?
So I couldn't help but notice you're unpacking your luggage.
Trying to lighten the load a bit.
I think we're getting a storage locker.
Well, if you like, we can get your things back to the U.S. and then ship them to you.
I might take them up on the offer, Jack. They're not the most secure.
Well, okay. Thanks, Kendall. Are you sure?
Absolutely. It's our pleasure.
Jack, I see the rest of the Parks and Brennans over there. I'm going to take the kids over and meet them.
Sure, hon. You guys flying straight home?
Well, no, actually, we're flying out on a mystery mission.
Pardon me. Are you Angela Park?
Why, yes.
I'm Susan Brinkman, and these are my kids.
Kitri.
Kate.
Hi, I'm Michelle Brinkman.
And this is Grace.
Hi.
Isaac, Charlie, and Peter.
Oh, it's such a pleasure to meet you.
And you must be Katie and Jesse.
Yes, I am.
Hello.
And this is my son, Ryan.
Nice to meet you.
And Summer Melody.
And this little bundle is Joseph Caleb.
It's incredible to finally meet you all. We're homeschoolers, too.
Oh, the Creation Response Team. You guys are celebrities.
Well, no, not really.
Well, not by choice. So where are you headed?
We're going to visit the Waodani Indian tribe in Ecuador.
Our family reports on missionaries serving in the field. People are really inspired when they hear what the Lord is doing through his servants.
Wow, that's fantastic. Ryan, do you see Jonathan?
He's right over there.
Oh, I think he's talking with our other son Ian and one of the guys on our team.
So that's why we're studying the ancient tribes that used to live here in Ecuador, trying to better recreate the migration of the people groups from the Tower of Babel.
Wouldn't evolutionists say that the genetic variations in people are proof of evolution?
Well, you know, Jack, it's similar to a small group of Italian wall lizards that were dropped off on the island of Pod Mercuru in the South Adriatic Sea in 1971. Because this group was isolated from the rest of the lizards, they began to express their own unique characteristics.
Like what?
Well, in part because of the food available on the island. They became vegetarians instead of feeding on insects. Their jaws became stronger for crunching on leaves, and even muscles in their gut got stronger to slow digestion in order to better digest plants.
Would they say that with the right conditions and enough time, these lizards could become completely different creatures?
If they're consistent, yes. They believe a nearly unlimited change has occurred through all history, transforming a single cell into all life on Earth. But creationists would say God chose to pack enough genetic material into every created kind to be able to adapt to new environments, like these lizards.
So the change we actually observe is completely different from evolutionary theory.
Exactly. Think of it like the baking ingredients in someone's cupboard, okay? By mixing different combinations and amounts, a baker could make cakes, cookies, or pies. But there is a limit to what they could make, right? Ultimately, our conclusions must agree with the scriptures, but reality will always fit what it says. And in this situation, look at these lizards. Do the changes point more to design or chance?
It was the adaptations that allowed the lizards to survive. Definitely design, not randomness.
I'm sorry. I really need to make sure our families make their plane.
Kendall, I know we've just met. I really respect your work, and if going on this trip is what the Lord would have you do, I don't want to discourage you, but do you really think it's wise to go to an undisclosed place with someone you've never met before? What if it's a trap and the Nature Adventure Channel is trying to use you to...
Oh, thanks for your concern, but we've worked with them before. Well, Jack, it's been great meeting you. Let's meet up with the others, do the luggage switch, and then I've got to get my family on a plane.
Not long after that, Dad, Mr. Brennan, and I made it to Brazil. As soon as our plane touched down, we were hurried over to a helicopter. In no time, we were flying out over the ocean and landing on an island about 30 miles off the coast.
All right, Jonathan, grab our gear.
I got it.
Thanks.
Here's your computer tablet. Your instructions are on here. You want to watch it first thing. In this bag are a few GoPro video cams. Keep them on at all times. Oh, hey, and those communication watches, while they may work on the island, they won't get satellite.
How are we going to contact anybody?
That's part of the adventure, Park. On this island, you're the endangered species.
Why do I feel like we've just been marooned?
Well, let's boot up this tablet and see what our instructions are.
Good morning, Dr. Park. Your mission, should you decide to accept it, which is the light that you already have. Okay, the island you're standing on is Ilha de Queimada Grande, also known as Snake Island.
Snake Island?
Yes, Snake Island. Why, you may ask? Well, Snake Island is about 100 square acres of South American island paradise, filled with 4,000 venomous snakes. Golden lancehead vipers, to be exact.
Oh, no.
If you do the math, you'll find that dividing the number of snakes by the surface area of the island means you'll find 1 to 4 snakes every 10 square feet.
This is not sounding good, Kendall.
Oh, by the way, there's a second team on the island that you'll be competing against.
A second team? Who?
Well, let's just say they're not creationists. Your mission, Dr. Park, is simply to survive. Make a better case for creation than the other team does for evolution. And then be the first to make it to a boat waiting for you on the other side of the island.
We win by surviving?
Oh, and one more thing. The snakes are pit vipers, so they're more dangerous at night. They can see you, even in the dark. Your next stop, the lighthouse. You'll find out more there. Well, good luck. You'll need it.
What have I gotten us into?
Jonathan, I wouldn't cut across that smooth rock like that. It's pretty steep.
I should be okay. Ah!
Jonathan, I stopped myself pretty quickly. Kendall, look what's down there.
Please tell me it's not snakes.
It's like a whole nest of them. Look over there.
Son, I'm coming after you.
Wait, Dad, it's too slippery. You'll lock us both into them. I stopped sliding, but my feet were dangling only a few feet away from them. And every time I moved, I slipped farther down.
Oh, wow. They're going to strike at him. Son, climb up here right away.
I think if I could just... Ow!
Son.
One shot my foot.
No, I'm coming down anyway.
No, Dad. Its fangs are stuck in the sole of my boot. But it missed my foot.
Oh, wow. He's thrashing. The snake's still attached to his boot.
And it's tracking the others.
Meanwhile, the rest of our team were arriving back home in the Santa Fe airport.
This way to the baggage claim.
I'm sure looking forward to getting some rest.
We'll get these bags and head home.
Well, there's the blue bag. I need to get my change purse. There's a cart. I'll start loading.
That's funny. I thought for sure this was our bag. But there's a CD player in here. We didn't bring one of those.
You're right. Something is wrong. My suitcase isn't here.
And this bag has Jonathan's clothes.
The airlines must have given us the wrong bag.
Oh, no. That means
the men have our bags.
Jim, grab that big stick over there.
Whoa.
And give it to Jonathan.
I've got it. Wow. I almost mistook that snake for the stick. They're everywhere. Okay, here it is.
Got it.
Jim, help me pull.
Oh, the snake's still stuck to his boot. Hit Peter with the stick.
Right.
Well, at least that one won't give us any more trouble.
Oh, wow. Is this... Its dead body slid down the rock. The other started eating it.
Gross.
Okay, this is a dangerous place.
What do we do now?
All right, let's open up the gear and see what we've got to work with. We better hurry.
I have Martha's toiletries bag.
What? Oh, you're kidding.
Hey, and this bag has one of Jesse's horse books.
I can't believe it. Our baggage is mixed up.
Well, it looks like we've got some survival gear. This appears to be one of the Brinkman's bags. Fortunately, they were heading to the jungle themselves, so it looks like there's some really useful things here.
Hey, that's great. Obviously, they anticipated snakes as well.
What are these?
Those are cattle prods. It's a stick that gives off an electric shock.
Good. Maybe we can keep these snakes at least at arm's length. What have you got, Jim?
This looks like a zip line and a harness. What was that for?
Here are some extra rations.
Good. And I've got plenty of water. And, yeah, Martha always hides a couple of protein bars in her makeup bag.
Here are some snake boots, Mr. Brennan. I hope they fit.
You might as well start taking footage right away. It's part of the rules of the challenge.
Good thinking. Well, Mr. Crown said something about a lighthouse, so let's see if we can find it. Watch your head, you guys. You do not want one of these snakes to drop on you.
We're supposed to be making the case for creation. What can we say about these snakes?
Well, hey, Jonathan, how about discussing their origin?
That's a good idea. Okay, I believe you're on camera.
Well, one evolutionary theory is the burrowing lizard hypothesis. This idea says that snakes evolved from lizards that lived underground, and over time, the lizard lost its legs and became a snake. Evolutionists use the fossil of the Najash Rio Negrina as their proof. It was a two-legged burrowing animal.
So they must believe some big changes took place over a very long time.
Like the loss of ears and the development of a covering over the eyes, because unlike lizards, snakes don't have eyelids or openings for ears.
It's more than just a legless lizard.
You're right, Jonathan. Just think about the major changes you'd have to make. To begin with, snakes have specially designed vertebrae that allow them to slither. A lizard doesn't have that same skeletal structure.
And the special muscles to move that skeleton?
Yes. Remember, too, that a snake's paired organs, like lungs and kidneys, are arranged one in front of the other and not side by side like a lizard. And add to this that the snake jaws hinged differently from a lizard. The jawbone is split in the front, has the ability to spread and open wide enough to swallow a creature as wide as the snake itself.
A snake's skull is reinforced to give more protection for the brain than a lizard.
The throat of the lizard would have to be redesigned. Snakes can still breathe while swallowing such large prey.
Well, they may both be reptiles, but snakes are snakes and lizards are lizards. One didn't evolve from the other.
You might say the lizard to a snake theory just doesn't have a leg to stand on.
Jonathan, stop! They're at your feet.
I thought it was just a root. Thank you, Brinkmans, for the cattle prods.
All right, that's it.
Hey, Kendall, how do you account for all these snakes in one place?
Well, it seems that in this particular environment, these snakes may be the top of the food chain. I haven't seen a single mammal yet, like a mongoose or a mouse or anything. So with no natural predators, it makes sense that the snakes would breed almost unchecked.
As we made our way to the lighthouse, it seemed that every step forward was another step upward. As the sun sunk into the sea, night was closing in.
Look, there's the lighthouse.
Where?
It's about 200 yards further, along the ridge.
Well, we better get there quick. The cooler it gets out here, the more we look like walking torches to these pit vipers. Jonathan, move left now! Take that, you wretched snake!
That was close!
That just about got you in the hip, Jonathan. Whoa, there's another one! Uh-oh, that's the end of my cattle prod.
The batteries must be dead.
Let's put on our headlamps so that we're ready for nightfall. It's not that far now. Come on.
Hola, amigos.
What? Wow,
whoa.
Look.
Hola.
I can't believe someone else is on the island.
Oh, you speak English. Why you not say so? My English is not so good too, eh? See?
Why are you up here in the tree?
Señor, I am up here because the snakes, I am studying them up here. Stand back.
Whoa.
I have been expecting you, amigos. Your dinner is about ready, here in the lighthouse.
We just need some more details.
We eat, eh?
Thank you for letting us in.
Welcome.
Who are you?
My name is Franco Fernando Leonardo Marcos. But mi mama calls me Paco.
Oh, it's nice to meet you, Paco.
Is that fish I smell?
Fish? No, it's snake.
Snake?
See, it tastes like chicken. You would like, yes?
Oh, I'm sure it'll be great. Right, guys?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You have made it here with no bites, eh? That is good, senores.
How can you live on this island?
I do not live here all the time. But I know the snakes. I think like a snake now. I am herpetologist.
Oh.
I like the field work, no? Here I study the snakes. You notice the Brazilian Navy has erected a two-room research center attached to the lighthouse. They let me use it.
How long have you been doing this?
I have been coming to Ilha de Mata Grande now for 21 years. These golden lancehead snakes here on the island to get bit by these senores, oh, is no bueno. Many die. Now we eat, eh?
Okay. Well, son, would you thank the Lord for his mercies to us before dinner?
Sure, Dad. Dear Lord, thank you for your protection in the middle of all these snakes. And thank you for this food we're about to eat. And for our new friend, Mr. Marcos. Amen.
Gracias, amigo. But please, call me Paco, eh?
Are you all alone here?
No, senor. I am never alone. I have many friends. But none with feet, eh? The island is off limits to all but a few.
Hey, this really is good.
Gracias. You see, I told you. Just like Mama used to make. But she used chicken, not snake.
Oh. It seems kind of stuffy in here.
See, any open windows will let our slithering friends inside.
Do you run the lighthouse too?
There was once a lighthouse keeper to run the light. He had a wife and child, but legend has it, one night, the snakes, they come in. The family, they run for the boat through the jungle, but they never made it. So now, the light is, how you say, automated.
How horrible.
One time, a fisherman came here, but he too never left. He was found dead on the shore in his boat. Menino, you are hungry. You need more?
No, sir. I'm doing fine with what I have.
No, Jonathan. I was talking to Menino. He is behind you, climbing up the chair.
Jonathan, whoa. A snake on your chair.
Whoa!
No, amigo, it's all right. Menino has no fangs or poison. I fix him, no?
You fixed him?
See, after dinner, I will show you where you'll spend the night.
Dad, are you awake?
I am now.
Dad, I can't sleep. You know, I've been having a hard time understanding why God would design something to kill if he made everything very good from the beginning.
Well, you're right. Genesis 1:3 through 31, it says, "And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat." And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day.
So it appears that all creatures ate plants, and none ate meat, or needed to defend against predators.
Well, Jonathan, lots of Christians have tried to answer this question, and some theories are better than others. Let me try to give you my opinion, all right? God created things very good from the start, but then man rebelled. Adam disobeyed God's command, and in Genesis 3, we see that God places a curse on all of creation. And according to Romans 8:22, "For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now." All creation was cursed, including animals.
After the fall, there was a change?
Jonathan, here's my opinion. I think that God packed all of the original kinds of animals with a variety of genetic information, including the defense mechanisms, because he foreknew the fall. And we're learning that there are functions, like switches, that turn certain sections of the genetic code on and off in one generation. Now, could it be that God created everything very good, and then after the fall and curse, these defense mechanisms were turned on? It is a possible theory amongst several others that creation scientists are researching. Wait, shh. Do you hear that? What can that be? Did some snakes get loose in the other room? Hand me that cattle prod, Jonathan.
Here. Hey, that sound is coming from the door.
The doorknob is turning.
The door's open.
Take this, whatever you are.
Yeah!
It's a person.
Yes, it's a person. What did you think I was, a water buffalo? Oh.
The Explorer Society.
Wow.
Well, if it isn't the Creation Response Team.
Well, Dr. Park. So we meet again.
What is the Explorers Society doing there? How will they all get off the island? To find out, join us for part two of Jonathan Park and the Isle of No Return. You've been listening to The Adventures of Jonathan Park. Although the story is fictitious, many of our adventures are based on real places, historical events, or scientific discoveries. To learn more about Jonathan Park and evidence for creation, please visit our website at jonathanpark.com. You'll also find additional resources that will help you see and understand how science is in complete agreement with God's Word. That's jonathanpark.com. Make sure to join us next time as the Creation Response Team and Explorers Society fight for their lives in part two of Jonathan Park and the Isle of No Return.
Until next time, this is Dr. Kendall Park reminding you, this is our Father's world. God created it. We can explore it. So live the adventure.